Our text this morning comes from Mark chapter 8. We'll begin in verse 1. In those days, when again a great crowd had gathered and they had nothing to eat, he called his disciples to him and said to them, "I have compassion on the crowd because they have been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. Now if I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way, and some of them have come from far away." And his disciples answered him, "How can one feed these people with bread here in this desolate place?" And he asked them, "How many loaves do you have?" They said, "Seven." And he directed the crowd to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves, and having given thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to set before the people, and they set them before the crowd. And they had a few small fish, and having blessed them, he said that these also should be set before them. And they ate and were satisfied, and they took up the broken pieces left over, 7 baskets full. There were about 4,000 people, and he sent them away. And immediately he got into the boat with his disciples and went to the district of Dalmanutha. And the Pharisees came and began to argue with him, seeking from him a sign from heaven to test him. And he sighed deeply in his spirit and said, "Why does this generation seek a sign? Truly I say to you, no sign will be given to this generation." And he left them, got into the boat again, and went to the other side. Now they had forgotten to bring bread, and they had only 1 loaf with them in the boat. And he cautioned them, saying, "Watch out, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod." They began discussing with one another the fact that they had no bread. And Jesus, aware of this, said to them, "Why are you discussing the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? Having ears, do you not hear? Do you not remember? When I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up?" They said to him, 12. "And the 7 for the 4,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up?" They said to him, 7. And he said to them, "Do you not yet understand?" And they came to Bethsaida, and some people brought to him a blind man and begged him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. And when he had spit on his eyes and laid his hands on him, he asked him, "Do you see anything?" And he looked up and said, "I see people, but they look like trees walking." Then Jesus laid his hands on his eyes again, and he opened his eyes. His sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. And he sent him to his home, saying, "Do not even enter the village." And Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they told him, "John the Baptist, others say Elijah, others one of the prophets." And he asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Christ." And he strictly charged them to tell no one about him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he said this plainly. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." Let us pray together. Righteous Heavenly Father, we pray that you will open our minds to the Scriptures this morning. We thank you, Father, for these words that are preserved from your servant Mark. Righteous Father, we pray for greater faith and greater strength in your kingdom. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. All right, so longer reading today, and it contains a couple of things that we've already seen before in the Gospel of Mark. All right, we get another feeding miracle. And we get another kind of strange miracle that involves Jesus spitting. And we might wonder, why is Mark seemingly repeating himself here? It's because things have come to a head in Mark's gospel. The disciples are confronted with something. We, the readers, are confronted with something. And everything breaks loose in Mark's gospel, starting with today's reading. I want us to start with the miraculous feeding and the Pharisees' demands that come after that feeding. We've seen Jesus' fame grow over the course of Mark's gospel. Huge crowds have been following him around everywhere. He's already fed one such crowd in such a way that they're all satisfied and they have 12 baskets full of leftovers. Well, now he does the same thing again and has 7 baskets full of leftovers. Right, we've seen the news of these kinds of events spreading like wildfire. Right, he's been taking the disciples around by boat to different places, often looking for solitude, trying to get away from people. And yet, it doesn't matter where he goes, there's always a crowd, practically a mob, following him around everywhere, and they always find him. Seemingly everybody knows that Jesus is a wonder worker. But then Jesus gets on the boat to Dalmanutha, and the Pharisees there begin arguing with him, seeking a sign. What? Are you kidding me? Right. Immediately after this feeding and seeing that, I mean, everybody knows the kinds of stuff that Jesus has been doing. These guys want a sign? All right, Mark puts these stories side by side for us, by the way. The feeding of the 4,000 and this argument with the Pharisees of Dalmanutha. He puts them side by side for us for precisely that kind of effect. Jesus has just performed this great work, and now immediately we are reading about these guys seeking a sign, right? It's ridiculous. But Mark puts us in this state of mind for a reason, because the next thing that we have read is just completely galling. All right, Jesus gets the disciples back on the boat. This time they're going to go to Bethsaida. And apparently, Jesus notices that they have noticed that they only have one loaf of bread between them, because they forgot to grab more food before setting out. And he warns them, watch out. Beware the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. All right, we'll talk more about the leaven of Herod in just a second. But we've just seen the leaven of the Pharisees. We ought to have a sense of what Jesus is talking about when he warns the disciples, beware the leaven of the Pharisees. The Pharisees disbelieved. They could not accept who Jesus was, which we suspect is why they were arguing with him and seeking a sign, and why Jesus responds in precisely the way he does. He sighs deeply in his spirit. We're all supposed to groan at these guys asking for a sign. And so Jesus warns the disciples, beware the leaven of the Pharisees. Precisely the kind of thing we just saw at Dalmanutha. And yet this scene on the boat unfolds. It unfolds like an accident that you can just see coming. Right? You know it's happening. You know it's going to happen, but you're powerless to stop it. And you just watch this thing unfold. The disciples do exactly the thing. In fact, they almost act like toddlers here. You ever tell a toddler, don't do that? And it immediately enters into the heart of that child to go and do precisely that. That's how the disciples are asking, or acting on the boat here. They do exactly the thing that Jesus has warned them against. They start acting as if they are not on the same boat as the man who has just fed thousands of people in their presence, using next to no food. And they're worried about not having enough food. They begin discussing with one another the fact they had no bread. And so Jesus calls them out on it. He says, why are you discussing the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? Having ears, do you not hear? Do you not remember? And then he walks them through it, just like you'd walk a small child through something. When I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up? 12. And the 7 for the 4,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up? 7. Right? He's holding them by the hands here, walking them through this. And he chastises them yet again for it. Do you not yet understand? Don't you get it yet? And it's completely galling the way that his disciples act on the boat. Now, keep in mind something that Jesus has asked them there on the boat. Having eyes, do you not see? Because the very next thing that Mark shows us is a blind man. And the healing of this particular blind man might strike us as strange, possibly confusing, because of the way that it plays out. Jesus heals him in stages, and we go, well, why did he have to do that? The key is to understand that this miracle is not recorded just for its own sake. Mark records this miracle to help us understand the faith of the disciples, particularly Peter. Because Peter, after being blind on the boat, being part of this discussion about, well, we don't have any bread, he seemingly has his eyes opened on the way to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. He confesses that Jesus is the Christ. This is the first time that we have seen the word Christ in the Gospel of Mark since the very first verse of the Gospel. The beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Between then and here, we have not heard the word Christ once in 7 chapters of Mark's Gospel. Peter, for the first time here in Mark's Gospel, Peter has successfully escaped the leaven of Herod, seemingly. You remember Herod, we read about him earlier, back in chapter 6. Herod thought that Jesus was John the Baptist raised from the dead. Right? He doesn't get it either. Like, the Pharisees don't get it. Peter has escaped that leaven, but lest we think that Peter has fully received his sight, look at how he reacts to our Lord's proclamation of the gospel. Right? It's in today's reading that the Lord begins the fullest proclamation of the gospel that we have seen up to this point in the book. He began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he said this plainly. Right, how often do you read that about Jesus in the Gospels? He said this plainly. And how that Jesus is just handing them the gospel in plain terms. Peter reacts to it by rebuking Jesus. Peter just flat out rejects the gospel in today's reading. The lesson for us is that faith is difficult. It's something that we were talking about in our Bible class this morning. Faith is difficult. I mean, it's more difficult than we think sometimes. We sometimes treat belief and trust in God as the easy parts of the Christian life. Right? The part that requires nothing of us. Right? All you have to do is believe. Right? You just change your mind. Like, how easy is it to change your mind? Right? Seemingly requires no work. Right? We tend to get into this mode of thinking, especially when we're talking about, you know, engaged in faith versus works debates, arguing against people who take a faith-only view. We might be tempted to think that faith accounts for very little. We're wrong if we think that. Here, in today's reading, we see how difficult faith truly is. Mark has laid it out nice and neat for us, so that it's obvious to us as readers that the disciples are being especially thick on the boat. They're being especially dull-witted, especially faithless. We think, as we read this, how can they have missed something so obvious? Are you kidding me? We're supposed to have the same reaction to them as we have to the Pharisees in Dalmanutha. Are you joking me, disciples? You're worried about bread after witnessing these miraculous feedings, right? But here's the thing. Let's not kid ourselves. Let's not pat ourselves too hard on the backs for being able to read. Because if we were in their place, you and I would probably have done the same thing. Faith, we learn in today's reading from the gospel, faith comes in fits and starts. It's like the blind man in his healing. He receives some healing from Jesus, and he can kind of see, but not really. And there is a fuller healing and fuller sightedness that he undergoes. Faith, our faith, your faith and mine, is like that. That it comes in fits and starts, and that even at our best, our progress usually is pretty meager, if we're honest with ourselves. Two steps forward and one step back if we're doing good. Usually, sometimes two steps back, sometimes even more. Peter shows us this. Right on the heels of the great confession, Peter turns around and shows us that he still does not get it. He doesn't understand the gospel. That's us. What is required of us is a long-term commitment to keep fighting it out. Right? Because you and I in this life, a lot of times we look around and things look like lumbering trees to us. Right? We have clearer sight awaiting us if we are continuing to grow in the faith. Peter ultimately does it. He continues growing. We see him doing it right through the New Testament. And that is what is required also of us, to make this lifelong commitment to keep fighting it out, however halting our progress in the faith may be. And so we invite everyone to this struggle of faith, two steps forward and one step back. If you have not believed in the good news of Jesus Christ, we call on you to believe it today, that the Son of God took on flesh and dwelt among men. We call on you to turn away from the life of sin, to confess Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God, to be baptized into his death, burial, and resurrection for the remission of your sins, and to continue in the life of faith. And if you have not been doing that, we call on you to repent. If you're subject to the invitation, we encourage you to make your needs known by coming forward as together we stand and sing.
Without him I could do nothing. Without him I surely fail. Without him I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Jesus, oh Jesus, do you know him today? Don't turn him away. Oh, Jesus, oh, Jesus, without him, how lost I would be. Without him, I would be dying. Without him, I surely fail. Without him, life would be hopeless. But with Jesus, thank God, I'm saved. Jesus, oh Jesus, do you know him today? Don't turn him away. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Without him, how lost I would be.
Thank you, Caleb, for the
Very, very good lesson this morning. And that good lesson makes it easier to make this announcement. we have agreed and we informed Caleb this morning that we're going to give him a raise in the coming year starting the first Sunday of January. We thank Caleb for his good work. So that'll be a 7% raise commensurate with the current rate of inflation. So hopefully that will help, as well as we gave him a $1,000 bonus last year. We're going to do the same this year, and I'll get that to him as soon as I can. So thank you once again, Caleb. We really appreciate your work with us, and hope you stay for a long, long time.
Thank you all so much.
All right. And are there any other announcements that we need to make before we're dismissed this morning? All right. It's been good to be with you. We'll be back tonight at 6 p.m. And then we'll have our midweek Bible study on Thursday at 7. And we hope to see you then. All right. If there's nothing further, then we'll have our closing prayer at this time.
Would you pray with me, please? Father in heaven, we thank thee for this day that you've given us. We thank thee for this opportunity that we've had that we might gather together as your children and study and hear another portion of thy word, and especially, Father, that we might commemorate the death, burial, and resurrection of your Son. Father, we ask that you might be with Brother Caleb and his family, that they might have a long and fruitful work in your vineyard. Father, we ask that you might also be with those that are on beds of affliction. And if it be thy will, Father, we ask that their health might be restored. We also ask that you be with the caregivers that are seeing to their physical needs. Father, the men and their families that are preaching, teaching your word in various parts of not just this country, Father, but in other parts of the world, we ask that you continue to strengthen them, be with them, as many of those areas are very difficult to work in, Father. Father, help us to be ever mindful that regardless of what we may accomplish in our life and what we may learn, these abilities to accomplish, this ability to learn, these are all gifts from you. We do not do this on our own, Father, and help us that we might always remember that. Father, as we continue on through this day, through this week, through the remaining days of our lives, when it is our time to quit the walks of man, it is our earnest hope and desire, Father, that we might hear thee say, "Enter, good and faithful servant." These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Doing Christmas on Sunday.
I have been
having. Daddy's